In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. My guest today is the prolific Prince of Power Pop, Kurt Baker. He's from Maine originally, but he spent a number of years living and rocking overseas in Spain and touring throughout Europe. Since the pandemic, he's been back in the States, and these days he's living in New York City. His latest single for Wicked Cool Records is Undertow Afterglow, and it's the recent coolest song of the world. We'll give it a listen, and then I'll be back with Kurt for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
You say all the games that you play are my style. Victims are told to break free of the hole, but that never was me by the mile. You ask me if I'm really sure. Tell me if it's all in my head. You could be what I'm asking for. And she said, yeah, she said, I've been wondering what you're thinking. Pull from a wreck that's sinking low. You pour the glass and I'm drinking. Pleasure and poison, I won't let go. If you're undertow, or you're afterglow.
I am the Mighty Mandarin with your coolest conversations in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and my guest is the reigning prince of power pop, Kurt Baker. His new single, Undertow Afterglow, is out on Wicked Cool Records, and it's this week's coolest song in the world. Kurt, my man, how are you?
I'm doing dandy, Manfred. Just dandy. I'm taking a little vacation right now in Maine.
Up there enjoying a vacation in Maine. Tell me, how has the new year been treating you so far?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. I can't complain. I've got new music out. It's a new year. New year, new me.
New me. So because it's the, you know, New Year's is still fairly recent, so the question I have to ask is the resolutions. Like, are you a guy that makes New Year's resolutions? If so, have you been able to keep it? What are you doing?
I've never been much of a resolutions guy. I just like having a good time all the time.
You know, that makes me think of Spinal Tap.
Yes.
So I guess it was the last time we spoke was like, it would be 3 years in April. And during that time, since that time, you were briefly on the air as a DJ in the Underground Garage. But
that's right.
But these days, you're working, instead of being on the air, you're working for Stephen Van Zandt at Wicked Cool Records. So how did you land that gig?
Well, it's an interesting story. So I was doing my radio show, The Buzz Electric, and that was going for, I did that for about 7 months or so.
Yeah.
And I was still in Madrid. I was living in Madrid at the time, in Spain, and I got this call from Stephen, and he said, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in Madrid. He's like, how quick can you be at this hotel? I'm like, well, that's about like 20 minutes walk. He's like, take a cab. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to the hotel. And I meet him in the lobby, and we sit down, and he goes, well, I got some good news, and I got some bad news. Bad news is, your show's canceled. But the good news is there's room for you on the firm. So he invited me to work for Wicked Cool, and then also do, you know, some behind-the-scenes radio production. And
yeah, yeah.
And because of that, I've actually relocated to New York City. So I'm in New York City now, and that's been a lot of fun. And yeah, just kind of starting this 2026 with a lot of cool things happening with the record label and then my own music. So I really couldn't be in a better spot right now. So it's very cool, very happy.
We're going to talk about the single in a moment, but still I wanted to find out, well, what are you doing for Stephen's label then?
Well, so I really kind of do the day-to-day kind of operational management of the label, kind of putting together, you know, the release schedules, working with the artist, kind of doing some A&R work as well. New York City's great because there's so much stuff going on all the time, and I love going to concerts, so I'm constantly kind of discovering new bands and new music. And then also, you know, it's one of these situations. It's a interesting perspective because I've been signed to Wicked Cool Records for many years now.
Yeah.
So I know that kind of side of it, you know, being in a band for how many years I've been playing, you know, I've always dealt with, you know, record labels. So now I'm kind of seeing the other side of it, but I'm fortunate to kind of bring in this kind of artist perspective to working with the label. And I think the artists on the roster appreciate that because, you know, they can come to me as, you know, a musician and I understand, you know, the struggles and the good things that happen with you know, making music and going on tour. And so if I can apply my experiences to that in working with Wicked Cool Records, I think it's a recipe for a good time, some success. Yes.
Well, let me ask then, obviously the artists, the bands, you know, the different music that Stephen has on the label, he likes. I mean, he's obviously likes. Is there something that unifies these things aesthetically? What is it that brings the identity of a Wicked Cool? Is there like a what is Wicked Cool Records in terms of the artist? What type of artist or is the label about? What is it's like their mission statement for the label? What's the gist? I mean, obviously it's stuff Stephen likes. But is there something else that unifies this kind of world?
For sure. It's just that the focus is on great songs, great, you know, great melodies. And it's really Stephen's, you know, what Stephen loves. And yeah. So, you know, the music that is released on Wicked Cool, it has to be approved by Stephen. And to be approved by Stephen, you gotta write, you know, some pretty good stuff. So that's really the unifying thing. And it's obviously based in, you know, what you hear on the Underground Garage. You hear, you know, the maximum rock and soul. There's just a lot of elements of 60s and 70s music, but it's modern stuff because all the bands that we're, you know, that we have on the label are current. And but yeah, it's basically what Stephen loves, and that's just great rock and roll music. And I think if there was a mission statement, I'd say just the label exists to keep, you know, rock and roll alive and vibrant. And so we're constantly trying to put out the best music that we can. And I'm lucky to be part of it on both sides.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, great songwriting. So let's talk about some great songwriting. Our coolest song in the world this week, your new tune, Undertow Afterglow. And the liner notes I was sent, it says you co-wrote the song with Dan Maraldi. Did I get his name
right? That's right. Yes, right. Dan Maraldi.
So I'm familiar with you working with Wyatt Funderburk, but I don't recall Dan's name coming up before. So who is Dan?
So Dan Maraldi is a New York-based musician. And his work, he's put out a lot of great material in the last, he's been playing for a long time and he's got a lot of releases, very, very prolific, creative guy. And I met him actually in New York City at a Cocktail Slipper show, and with Palmyra as well. And this was when I wasn't living in New York City at the time, but I was kind of there subletting an apartment for a few months, kind of testing out the waters. And so I met Dan, and so at this concert, and we started talking about music. He invited me to come by and listen to some records and have a couple drinks. And it was funny because we were both wearing Electric Light Orchestra t-shirts. And we're like, what? How does that work? So we kind of knew that we had a lot of shared, like, you know, influences. And so when I finally moved to New York for real, it turned out that Dan actually was living right up the street. So, you know, 30-minute walk, which in New York is not bad at all. And we just started writing. He would come over to my apartment and we would write songs there. So we were actually still collaborating on a lot of tracks, but Undertow Afterglow was really the first track that we kind of completed, and then we decided that we wanted to record it. So,
well, who came up with the initial idea? Was it yourself or him? Or as I was looking at the lyrics are great, really well thought out, or, you know, clever, very poetic, in fact. Well, give me an idea.
This track, basically, I think when I got to New York, there was a lot of crazy things that it was a very transformative time, and it still is. But I was really excited to be in a new city and feeling that excitement, but also kind of going through a lot of crazy things. So I just immediately kind of picked up the guitar and started thinking about, you know, the older kind of songs I used to write back in the day when I had a band called The Leftovers. And sometimes I would think about, like, okay, what kind of chord progression, what kind of melody would, like, the Turtles do, you know, like, or something like that. And then, you know, that influence then went musically to, like, okay, I take kind of that 60s kind of da-da-da-da, and then kind of put it through a filter of more, like, 70s power pop, like the Rubinoos. And so I ended up having pretty much the whole idea with the melody and the chords, and just kind of, I didn't really have any lyrics really. And so that's where Dan comes in, because I kind of sang the song to him as I had it, you know, with the melody, and he just started scribbling down these words, and, like, and he's done this before. It's pretty amazing, because he'll just, you know, he'll just start writing these lyrics, and then, okay, that word works with this. And then he'll work on it. So it really was, you know, me bringing in the music and then Dan writing all these lyrics. But another fun thing about Dan was that, you know, we would just hang out and I'd be telling him about all the stuff that was going on in my life. So, like, at that point, I was actually just starting the process of getting divorced, which has been a lot. But Dan was a great person to have around and just talking about life. So basically, you know, I'm telling him all this, like, stuff just over a couple of beers, and he's kind of thinking about stuff. So, like, he's remembering all the stuff that I'm telling him, and then he will go back and he'll write these lyrics and say, hey, check out these lyrics. What do you like those? And I'm like, oh, that works here. This doesn't. For Undertow Afterglow, the final piece was the chorus. So he came over and we were finishing it up, ready to demo. And I think originally the chorus was different, but then all of a sudden I had an idea to kind of go to this one chord, and it really kind of brought the whole thing up. And then we were like, okay, we got the song. Let's demo it.
When he was telling you this, you were telling him, sharing these stories about, you know, what's going on in your life. And then he gives you back these lyrics. It's just, you felt like, did you feel like, oh my God, you know, boy, can I relate to this, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, I imagine, you know, when people set out to write their, like, autobiography, but they're not really writing it, it's someone else, and they're just basically doing, like, the interviews, and then they see the book back, and they're like, oh yeah, that's it right there. So I don't know. I mean, I'll probably never. I might write my own book someday. I got a lot of crazy things to share, but it was, yeah, it was very kind of eye-opening, like, wow, this person's actually, you know, like, able to write lyrics, like, that it's, you know, it can apply to anyone, but because of what I've shared with him and what we talked about, what we wanted the song to be about, or and other songs that we've written too, it's really kind of cool to just see that out there. And so it was very much a collaborative process, and I love collaborating. And, you know, with with Wyatt as well, there's a lot of that same elements where it's like, okay, this, the strong part of this song that I've done is the melody, but it's lacking lyrics, or vice versa, you know. But that's kind of the fun thing about collaboration, and when it works.
All right. Well, let me ask you about the collaborating with Dan then. So in this instance, he supplied the lyrics. So you've written a number of songs together so far, right?
Yeah, we're working on, we're collecting a batch. Yeah.
Has the train gone the other direction yet? Is there something you've been supplying lyrics to that he had music for, or is it mainly, you know,
well, he's really just strong with lyrics, but there are, so he'll bring over sometimes some ideas, like some musical melodies and things like that. And I'd be like, I love making, writing bridges. Like, that's like my favorite thing to do. So he'll have like, you know, a great chorus idea, and then we'll work on a verse or something like that. Or if he'll have an older song that he had written few years ago, and then we'll kind of like redo it a bit, like, you know, and write some new words, and then, you know, I'll bring in a bridge that's different. But yeah, lyrically too, I've been trying to I did put out a few singles last year, and I was really trying to up the game, you know. I was trying to do a little bit better on my lyric writing, because sometimes that's the last thing I think about. So if someone else can help me with it, it's always pretty great.
Well, I have to compliment you on your lyrics. A lot of your songs are great. The great hooks. What is one something about a rusty nail? Then you have some.
Oh, yeah. Rusty nail.
It was great. And it seems like when we talked about that years ago, you were talking about having difficulty with lyrics. And I was thinking, I mean, you nailed the rusty nail, so to speak. I mean, there are another song. So,
well, thank you, Manfred.
You, we were up to the point where you said that you guys demoed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you? But you obviously recorded it. I think you did it at Renegade Studios.
Or? Sure did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so it's Jeff Sanoff is the engineer there, and also in the liner notes I saw that Jeff had contributed a guitar to the recording. Before I talk about the actual players on it, so when did you do this at Renegade, and did you record more than just the A and B side to the single?
So yeah, we recorded it over the summer, and so that it kind of was a few different sessions at the studio, and we recorded the Undertow, Afterglow, and then the B side, My Brave Face. And we started some other tracks. So we've got like a few others that we're working on. But the idea really was to just kind of mostly focus on getting this single done. Cause I really wanted to get something out. It had been a while. And I also am like, here I am in New York City. Gonna put some music out, you know?
Yes. Okay. So I mentioned Jeff, the engineer, also contributed, according to the liner notes, I was sent some guitar on there, and you're playing guitar, and I also saw that you play bass on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and so, and can you remind me who is the drummer, Craig?
So Craig Sala, yeah, Craig
who's
is
that? Been, who's Craig Sala?
Craig is he's great. He's been playing drums with me since 2010, on and off. He plays in a lot of different groups, but he. Was the drummer on my last two full-length albums. So Rock and Roll Club and After Party. And he lives kind of close by in Connecticut. So it was easy for him to come down and drum. And so I still don't really have – I'm looking to put together a lineup because I want to get out and play some shows this year. And so having Craig close by is great. But for this recording session – it was basically Craig on drums. I did bass and most of the guitars. And then Jeff Sanoff did a little bit of guitar stuff and helped kind of co-produce it with Dan and I. Dan was there really mainly as like kind of just producing. He did some keys, some
tambourine,
some percussion. And then he did a lot of backup vocals. So, but this was actually one of the first times that I've kind of done the majority of the guitar and the bass. I always kind of consider myself a bass player, but a lot of times I end up not playing the bass and just going to the guitar. So, but it was a nice kind of, I kind of challenged myself to do it. 'Cause I was like, you know, last couple albums, I've only done bass and a few guitar licks, but I did the rhythm and most of the leads on everything on this single. So,
well, I'm happy to hear you say, you know, you're thinking about a lineup, a band to put behind you, because, yeah, we need you gigging again.
Need to get back out there. I did one gig. So 2025, well, it was kind of crazy. It was the least I've played since starting, you know, in 2002. You know, even during the pandemic, somehow I ended up playing more gigs than I did in 2025, which is wild. I did two Oasis tribute shows last year, which was pretty fun. And then I did one Kurt Baker band show down in Asbury Lanes, but that was fantastic because it ended up working out that everyone in the old lineup, so that's Craig on drums, Craig Sala, Chris Rogers on keys, who's, you know, on Wicked Cool, Wyatt Funderburk, and then Jeff Palmer. So the old crew, we all got together and played a show in Asbury Park, New Jersey. So I guess if there was one gig, you know, that was the one to do. But I am itching and ready to rock. So I gotta get that happening.
Well, ready for that. So I'm gonna ask you about the B side, and we'll take a listen to it in a moment. But one thing I want to say that I do love about the artists that are on the label with Wicked Cool is that, like in this instance, again, there's actually a physical single that's getting made, and I know that your fans appreciate that. It's just a fun thing. About yourself, though, do you have a record player? Do you ever listen to actually 45s?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. I actually need to get some new, like, stylus, some new turntable needles, because the one I have is like, I had a couple for DJing, so I love to DJ too, so I got to get some new ones. But I listen to records all the time. I have a record player in my house. I have a big record collection. I have, unfortunately, I've got a record collection here, and so it's all in my apartment in Brooklyn. But I have another record collection in Europe. I got to figure out a way to bring it back, because I spent so much time over there and I amassed like a huge ton of records. But so 45s, if you're a DJ, that's the way to go, because it's a pain in the ass to carry around LPs to DJ. So 45s are great for that reason. If you're DJing at a bar, and I love doing, I've been DJing a bit in New York, which is a lot of fun. Hopefully I'll, you know, can turn that into maybe a monthly thing at one of these places. But so I do, like, you know, kind of the rock and roll, the punk, the power pop DJ stuff. But I also DJ some kind of, it's like kind of dance music, actually. It's from, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. I've got like the old maxi singles, and no one's really doing it now. So I was like, no one's doing it. It's pretty danceable stuff, you know? But I love vinyl. I love it. Yeah. And I love listening to it. And I think it's very cool to have, you know, your music on a record, you know, and get a test pressing.
Well, yeah. I mean, that to me, it's also, that's a connecting thread, you know, from rock and roll, original rock and roll stuff, as we generally think of the term, from, you know, 50s stuff, whether it's like early Chuck Berry tunes, whatever, forward, you know, playing a Chuck Berry song, playing a Kurt Baker song. I mean, you know, that's just great. That's a physical connection, a medium that, you know, contains all those things. So we're going to take I'll listen to the B-side in a moment. It's My Brave Face, the flip side to the new single. And that's you know, that was like a hit for Paul McCartney in the late 80s. And he co-wrote that with Elvis Costello. So that's kind of pretty cool. So why cover that one? Why do it? Why was that the perfect flip side to Undertow Afterglow?
Yeah, you know, so that's the thing. I had heard the Paul McCartney version, and I had liked it. But one day I was on YouTube, and I came across this video of Paul McCartney and Elvis Costello going through the song in the studio, at Paul's studio. And Elvis Costello was singing the lead, and the song was like, it sounded completely different. It was like a fast version. And I was like, that's the one that I like. And I started just listening to it all the time. And I could only find it on YouTube. So it's like unreleased. This version's not out there. And I was listening to it and listening to it. And I started to think about, you know, the lyrics. And then also, like, I looked it up and I was like, what's this song even about? And it was very relatable to, like, you know, what I was going through. And so, you know, coming to New York, dealing with this breakup, and then, you know, trying to put on this, you know, face of like, okay, here I am in the big city. I think this is all a lot, but you got to kind of stick with it and see it out and hope that, you know, it's going to all work out at the end, and which, you know, I think it is. And so, yeah, it just kind of hit home. And I was talking to Dan about, you know, a B-side, because usually with these Wicked Cool singles, we like to put a cover on the side B. So I was like, all right, let's do this version. And I think it does kind of connect with the A side, just in kind of dealing with, you know, everyday relationships and problems and daily life. And it's different kind of ways to look at those situations. So side A and side B kind of all goes together.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, relating to your own personal situation at the time, because I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So we got, it's two-sided, you know, it's like a left and a right, you know, two
right.
Hits, baby.
One, two punch.
That's it. The 1-2 punches. That's it. Kurt, man, I want to thank you so much for being able to kick back and chat with me.
It's nice to chat, you know? Yeah.
Well, all right. We're going to take a listen now to your B-side, My Brave Face. It's Kurt Baker and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Kurt Baker and Little Steven's Underground Garage with My Brave Face, B-side to Undertow Afterglow, his new single on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Kurt for joining me for today's Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker as well for producing our podcast. Last year, rock and roll legend Dion published a book titled The Rock and Roll Philosopher, and it has a companion album of the same name. We're going to find out all about both next time around when Dion joins us for a very special Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.